Brad, thank you. Girls, we thank you. We thank you, girls. Reminder, men's prayer breakfast Friday. We have some good news. Supreme Court has decided four cases recently in favor of what really ought to be done, I think, and two rather minor ones, partially not so good. I would like to call your attention to a video, which is Ruth and I have been watching. It's Glenn Beck's Museum. If you haven't seen that, it is shocking. It is true. He has the actual document signed by Hitler himself and a few other people, so he will share with you something that I don't think you'll be very happy about our country. It's very shocking. But it doesn't surprise you because of the way the things are going on in the world now. It's not going to surprise you. Ruth, you. What he has done is he's gone around and paid the price to collect the originals. As original. A letter signed by Hitler. So it's it's well worth just knowing. Prayer requests. Freddie Coyle. Stephen, am I right on? Carol Niebergi. Coach, how's he doing? Good. Boy, that's been a long haul. I mean, hard on you. Wouldn't be the first time they killed somebody just for a political purpose. Anyway, just. Scary. Ruth worked for a woman by the name of Paula. She was a single woman and an attorney. Worked for her for several years. Paula didn't have any children, was never married, and it became clear that that probably wasn't likely. She went overseas to Russia and sought to work out getting a orphan child and bring it back to the United States as her own child, to adopt the child. And she went over there and did the paperwork. And of course, if you go into the Russian circumstances in those hospitals, it's not very discouraging way. In fact, her brother was apparently, from what I understand, both of her brothers were put in kind of insane circumstances where they weren't given much ado about their ability to think or talk. I understand both of them are over here. Both of the brothers are now over here, but Paula undertook to bring the girl over here, and by the time she got all the paperwork done and Russian officials did everything they had to do and it was possible for her to adopt, the girl was too old to adopt and bring over, so she undertook to file paperwork, bring her over here as her, the word, Well, she had to sign off, though, to be her sponsor is what I was looking for, to be her sponsor, and undertook to then raise her. And she now is, that little girl now is married, has three children, and Paula has grandchildren that call her grandma. Daughter that calls her grandma, or ma. So, anyway, Paula has illustrated really what I was trying to title this tonight with. Share your life. Share the word. Share Jesus. What does it mean? Back in the early days of the Bible, did have what they tried to share, but in Acts 4:28 discusses what the disciples were doing, and I think it kind of illustrates what they were doing with regard to sharing. And so Acts 4:32-37. Acts 4:32-37. And the multitude of them believed were of one heart and one soul, and neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they all had all things in common. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Great grace was upon all of them. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for they, as many as were possessors of lands or houses, sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and the distribution was made unto every man according to he had need. And Hoses, who by the apostle was surnamed Barnabas, interpreted son of the consolation of Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. This is just a description in Acts that kind of refers back to what disciples were doing in sharing. But that's not really probably the type of share that I'm talking about here, and it is in a bigger sense. Share your life, share the word, share Jesus. The Bible, Ruth's Bible, is interesting because it defines them real simply what share means, and it just means one of two things: a portion of, or your share of the total, or you partake of, your participation in it. So your portion would be something that would be physical, and your participation would be like participating in a youth camp, doing some activity in the youth camp. Well, what does share mean? The dictionary definition spells it out just about the same way. Share is a portion becoming to or distributed to, contributed by, or owned by a person or a group. Our second definition is fair or full portion, one share of the housework, your share of the housework. The third definition has to do with corporate stock and is really not relevant here. So, if you're sharing, you're going to separate and parcel out the shares, or you're going to have ownership, a common ownership in it, or some sort of relationship where you have a common relation ownership in it. Sharecropper. My dad was a sharecropper. Dr. Jester owned the property and All he really wanted was half the cow and half the corn crop and half the tomatoes and other things sold on halves too. And so he was very happy. Had much cellar. About 4 foot shelves, deep canned goods, about 20 feet long. We left there and moved. Anyway, he was a good plan. We didn't, Dad was working for the city of Kearney, Nebraska, so we didn't, wasn't. They shared. Dr. Jester came and character because he wanted to drive the tractor. I was only 10 and I'd been driving the tractor, hardly barely get my feet to the pedals, but Dr. Jester always got it stuck. So what is share your life, share the word, share Jesus mean? Well, it may depend, you see, on who you're talking to. I've recently, as you all know, that we're at church on Sunday talked about the problems facing the world in our church, and one was the drug issue, and the other one was the drug issue, the fentanyl issue, and the other one was the ideologies that were taking place in the country. Well, about 5 years ago, the city, I went to an institution here in town, and as I went in, quickly saw that there was a girl standing in front of me that was totally nude, who was quickly covered with a blanket. Rather than embarrass anybody, myself, I got out of there, but this was a person that had escaped traffic. Hard thing to think about, but somehow she got away. But please tell me that I really don't know what's going on in that. Really don't know what's going on. In order to control these youth, they sometimes take them, take all their clothes off in an effort to protect their protege so they can keep them, control them. The little girl was scared to death. Oh, I could tell that it was an escape situation. It's not the first one I've seen. So I want to look at human trafficking a little bit, what impact it is on the world churches, what we can do. What does it mean, then, to maybe share your life? What if the man that tells you that he wants to share your life is by the name of Epstein? Had a little island that took famous people over there. The island was populated with young women. Lots of stories about it, but do you suppose if he told you about his life, he'd be talking to you about God? I don't think so. So when you share your life, there's no concern that when you say share your life, what are we really talking about? Depends on who. There's been a question about who all participated in that, and the list of those people that participated there is a big issue with some of the politicians and the political people who make their great efforts to keep that all quiet because of the shame that would bring to somebody. What about, see, I don't think that person would probably talk about God. part of his personal life. But what if the person is David Koresh? What he did, you see, is he made it very clear that he was talking about God and Jesus and trying to cover what the seven seals are and on and on and on, same time sharing way that you and I would not approve of. And so if this person talked to you about his life, that would be much different. New movie out, it's come out in the last 3 days, called Sound of Freedom. The movie is made by a man that apparently just recently came out of public service working to try to help rescue traffic victims. He's formed a nonprofit organization. I'm not sure whether the story is totally true about him, but it's a story about a man that came out from working for the government and has formed a private organization to do recovery, rescue that are victims of trafficking. So, well, I'm not sure how good the movie is, but it probably is well worth looking at. Main thing that I thought was such a horrible problem is private organization rescued 6,000 individuals worldwide. I'll tell you, it's just drop of the bucket. Doesn't help any that these illegal aliens are coming across the border down here. Doesn't help any, but see, the illegal alien problem is bigger than just transportation of individuals. Bigger. We'll talk about that somewhere down the line and what we can do as an organization about that. A lot of times, most of the time, and we're going to find out that it's not much, but there are things that we can do. What can be done? What could be done? Well, Attorney General Abbott 2 years ago convicted 30 people in Houston area and who ran other businesses who were involved in trafficking in Houston. That's one possibility, but you see, getting the evidence, these are men that are business operators. You see, they follow what the guy that made the movie, they listen to what the guy that made the movie has to say. See, the reason they're into human trafficking instead of selling heroin, because human trafficking is more profitable. Their comment, and the man's comment was, you see, I can sell sharing 10 times a day. Never sell that much drug. I'll never sell that much. So we need the government to step up and do that, but the man that's left and set up the private organization's done it because he feels like he can get more done than the government agencies, restricted as they are with how their hierarchy. Of course, all of you know Mother Teresa, that's her job, rescuing girls. But she's done all her life, made a career of it. Going. One girl and another girl, and there's more to come. More to come. Katie Davis. Katie is, if any of you haven't read the story, it's well worth reading. Katie went over to Uganda as a missionary, had been accepted to 7 of the best medical universities in the United States. He chose to go over to Uganda, be a missionary for a while instead of taking the medical career. She's adopted 13 of those little girls over there that she's rescued. Adopted them. Has 3 more living with her that she hasn't adopted. Well, those are 13 young little girls. She's there watching over. Same thing as Mother Teresa that Katie Davis has done. I just adopted them. Sequel to this book is that she's gotten married and has a little boy of her own. They're still there, raising 13 girls. The husband that's very supportive. The movie that I talked about, that's another way. But what can we as a church do? Well, I'll go back to what we said Sunday, we pray without ceasing. Pray for those people that are trafficking and pray for those people that are doing the rescuing. Pray all the time. 2, continue to fellowship as a church, because you see, without church organization, fellowshipping together, you don't have the ability to go. What's specific to this human trafficking situation? I don't think there probably is much, but I want to suggest that we share your life, share your word, share the word. Jesus. The way that we would think of as righteous, not the way we might think of some of those men. Here, so I want to look at some of what the Bible says with regard to sharing. Look first at Luke 9:9. Luke 3:9-11. Luke 3:9-11. Now the axe is laid under the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people ask him, saying, what shall we do then? He answereth and saith unto them, that hath 2 coats, let him impart to him that hath none. He that hath meat, let him do likewise. Well, here's the suggestion that we share. And I'm not so sure that we're talking about or that we can share with those people that are leading trafficking. More likely that we would be looking at sharing with the ones that are the victims. Some way that we work to share with that. I think the difficulty of talking to those that are making money from the human trafficking is probably like talking to them. Probably not going to get any response at all. So, Hebrews 13. Verses 15, 16. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Well, first, when I was talking first about sharing the tunic, that's sharing things. Hebrews 13:15. suggest we share our wisdom, our guidance, good communication, good communication. So we're sharing ourselves with them, those people that we come in contact. It may not be that we ever really have an opportunity to share with a victim. I would pray that we didn't have to observe that, didn't have to go through the process of seeing what that is or doing what we would have to do. But on the other hand, prepared to share a person that doesn't have the tune. Timothy 6:17-18 Charge them that are rich in the world that they may not, that they may be high-minded. Trust they may not, they be not high-minded, or trust uncertain riches, but in living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. They do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing. So now here, the second thing is that if we're sharing our life, that we be ready to do good works, the works that God would want us to share that with people that we have an opportunity to do with. It may not be somebody that's a victim of trafficking. We may not have that contact. Prepared to do that. Willing to communicate. Willing to take action. Willing to do the good deeds. Talking your life now. Life you love, action, talent. You know, what this church found, we started talking about action, deeds, talent. Found a lot of talent in this church. Weekend there with kids camp, found some people that could sing, some good teachers, some good people. So it's really, I think, relevant that we be prepared as a church, not only be praying, as we said before, but to also be fellowshipping among ourselves as we are here tonight, but also that we are using the talent to reach out and share. You all know, you see, the artists, museums, the artists have really kind of, or an opportunity to share in a way that other organizations don't, but to a certain extent we maybe ought to take a look at it. See, they hold these museums. So a famous painting that somebody buys and spends $100,000, millions of dollars sometimes, because it's the only one of in existence, that painting they put in Dallas Museum of Art, and show it off. Does its work if it's seen or done. So see, our talents here in this church are only good if we are using them, if we're actually putting them to use in our programs, in our activities, if our minds are being wasted because we're sitting here not using our minds and doing what we have and sharing it, not really... out who we can. So, talking your life that you're sharing. That could be singing, telling a story, games, music, reading, just watching, encouraging, cheering, encouraging. Share the word. Well, turn to Matthew 10. I bore you a little bit reading over it, but I want to go all the way from 1 through 15. When he had called unto them his 12 disciples, he gave them a power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles were these: Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, Zebedaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon and Canaanite, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth, commanded them, saying, Go into the way of the Gentiles, and into the city of Samaritan, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out the devils, freely give, provide neither gold nor silver, brass, or scrip in your journey, coats, neither yet staffs, for the workman worthy of his meat. Whatsoever city or town ye shall inquire who worthy, and there abide until go hence. Come into a house, salute. If the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it not be worthy, let your peace return to you. Now at that point, you see what he's telling us to do is to share with who we come in contact. We could make it a special point to join that man that has formed a private organization and go into those foreign countries or into back parts of Dallas and some of the parts of Dallas. Pick up those people. We could do that. Here, since we're members of this church and since we're part of this church, so it's God's set up before us to do. Then he adds in 14 and 15, he says, And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of the Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment, that city. Here, what he's given us license to do is to dust off our feet if it's not somebody that's paying any attention to us and go to somebody else. Given us authority to do that. Authority that if we can't go to the perpetrator of human trafficking because he's not going to be listening to us, doesn't listen to us, that we can go to somebody that is more. Means we may just move over a space or two. League of Arts or somewhere that we go to buy groceries or where we invite people to our church or where we ask people to move over a space or two. That may be where God has planned for us to go in the first place. I think Jesus made it very clear that we didn't have to stay after something that's possible, probable. That's the reason that mentions that these other people, what they're doing, and especially Katie Davis, what she's done is she's just, she hasn't really gone into the situation and picked people up that have been victims of trafficking. What she's really done is she's taken girls that are susceptible to that very problem and gotten them out of the territories where they pick them up. Now here in the United States, Houston, horrible place. Children. Has family down there. Don't really want to put them out the streets. Parts of town. Because right up the street here, goes up to Kansas City and up north with traffic. Part of the reason it's just out here on this street, institution on this very street, that I saw that very situation escape. So, what we do is, who as church hear our lives. That's where we develop relationships, contact with, pray. That's where we talk to God about all of us, seek His advice. Congregation here, fellowship, grow wisdom, guidance together. Then turn to Matthew 28:18. You all know what that is. 20. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Well, what he's really doing is teaching us and encouraging us to share the gospel. Share it with the people that we come in contact with. Share it with the people that come here and visitors here. Share it with them. Make contact. Not necessarily that we go out and search for victims itself. The task is so big. The traffic. Just such a task. Somebody like the man that has knowledge, how you go to those houses, those foreign countries, work in a way to get those people out. Ask, it's not only very scary, but it's possible. Of the people, the language, so the whole thing. And work. Those people that have an opportunity to share the word with, share our lives with. In other words, really and truly, I think we should be sharing. See, our music, our ability. Our song, our jokes. Is it righteous? Proper. Should be shared. Whoever comes in, we come in contact. So that we really are reaching out potential victims. Because if you really analyze what's going on in this country, what's really going on in this country is that you see all of these little things, human trafficking, enticing somebody to participate. We've lost that person that participates. That may be somebody we know. Lost that person. All of those ideologies that they're talking about, get you to buy into one of them. Lost them. They can get you to buy into this casual sex. Lost them. So there's our problem. All of these ideologies, all of these problems are opposition. All they need is to get person that sits next to you in church to buy into one. While we're trying, you see, process this whole book. It's fun. Try it. You might like it. It's fun. Try it. You might like it. It's fun. It's really fun. We'll buy into it. Tempting. Sometimes. Tempting. The problem is we have a neighbor in our neighborhood who has just purchased a car, a brand new car. I suspect he probably paid cash for it. But his comment to us was that the man that sold the car to him, which was at a very substantially reduced price because it was an older car, but it was new to him. The man that sold the car told him when he asked how many people buy these $90,000, $95,000. Salesman said, "Be surprised how many people come in and pay cash." I have no way of knowing, but my guess is they're probably not attending. And they probably may not even have relationship. Because the almighty dollar is clearly, and the good car is clearly very, very, very. Start talking about how many. See, those are people that are victims. They are the victims of the, not maybe human trafficking, they're the victims of the trafficking of, try it. Be fun. Try it. It may be fun. I like it. Our task is, challenge. Way, good news is this church has seen progress. I've gone over. I didn't mean to. Sorry. Apologize. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and for this time and your word and the blessings of what you have us say and learn and do. And we pray, Father, that we undertake to be obedient servants, follow. Suggested the task, church and our congregation, that we pray diligently. Pray these things. In Christ's name. Amen. Sorry, apologize, didn't realize, got